First reading is taken from Psalm chapter 19, verses 7 to 14. It's the law of the Lord. And I'm reading from the Good News Bible. The law of the Lord is perfect. It gives new strength. The commands of the Lord are trustworthy, giving wisdom to those who lack it. The laws of the Lord are right, and those who obey them are happy. The commands of the Lord are just and give understanding to the mind. Reverence for the Lord is good. It will continue forever. The judgments of the Lord are just. They are always fair. They are more desirable than the finest gold. They are sweeter than the purest honey. They give knowledge to me, your servant. I am rewarded for obeying them. No one can see his own errors. Deliver me, Lord, from hidden faults. Keep me safe also from willful sins. Don't let them rule over me. Then I shall be perfect and free from the evil of sin. May my words and my thoughts be acceptable to you, O Lord, my refuge and my redeemer. This is the word of the Lord.
The next reading is James 5, 13 to 20, the prayer of faith. Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being, even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. My brothers and sisters, if one of you should wander from the truth, and someone should bring you that person back, remember this: whoever turns a sinner from the error of their way will save them from death and cover over a multitude of sins. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Tim. Morning to all those wherever you are, further away. I suspect many of us, when we reached 17, or perhaps even a few weeks beforehand, picked up and started to read the Highway Code in order to give us some guidance and understanding as to how to drive correctly in a safe way for ourselves and for the benefit of others. As you know now, for a number of years, there's a formal theory test before the practical. When I was learning to drive, it was a few questions after the test by the examiner. The two lectionary readings I've chosen are in many ways a spiritual highway code. Yvonne read from the Good News Bible, but if you read the NIV, there's some words in there which we don't often use, or I don't think I've ever used in speech: precepts and ordinances. Well, for your information, precept is designed as defined as a general rule to regulate behavior or thought, while ordinances means an authoritative order. And in that reading, in a few verses, the same reference is made repeatedly in different ways as the law, the statutes, the precepts, the commands, and the ordinances of the Lord. Now, this is clearly referring to the Ten Commandments, you know, having no other God, not making idols, not taking God's name in vain, keeping the Sabbath holy, honoring one's parents, not committing murder, adultery, stealing, not being a false witness, or coveting. but also to a number of other formal laws, covering a whole wide range of behaviour, including on tithing, clothes, and eating. And some of these had very practical benefits. My father was a vet, and his favourite animal was a pig, believe it or not, which he was quite expert on. And he once told me that the Jewish and Muslim laws about pig meat was quite sensible, because in the climate of the Middle East, you can get a parasite which is going to transfer through the food chain into the humans, and it's just not good for human health. There are a number of other precepts in the Old Testament, in 1 Kings, concerning this house which you're building. If you walk in my statutes and execute my precepts and keep all my commandments by walking in them, then I carry out my word with you, which I made to David your father. And in 1 Kings 9, the fear of Jehovah is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his precepts. His praise abides forever. Now, our culture does not normally regard rule-keeping as being uplifting, not these days anyway, but the psalm points out the blessings that will come from obeying the rules of God. A revived soul, a joyful heart, eyes lit up, confidence as they know they are trustworthy, pure, permanent, sure, and of great value, being more precious than gold and sweeter than honey. After all, if there were no driving rules, being on the roads would be a complete nightmare. You didn't know what was going on. You know, I saw an old photograph recently taken probably early 1900s, and the cars are going either way on the road, back, you know, opposite directions. You know, they're not the same rules at all. And we'll be in complete fear. Having a highway code gives us confidence when we're driving. The first reading finishes with a prayer often used by preachers at the start of their address. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing in your sight. It's followed by a statement, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Now this having the words of God and pleasing him is really the outcome of following the preceding verses. Now when we get into the Gospels, the New Testament, Jesus continues in the same vein, saying he'd not come to overturn the law, but to fulfill it. Jesus gave a number of commands, notably a summary of the law, as love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. Secondly, to love your neighbor as yourselves. But others such as, abide in me and let me abide in you. Let people see your good works. Love your enemies. Store up treasures in heaven, not on earth. Do not worry about your material needs of food, drink, clothes, or your future. If you've been here today, he might have said, don't worry about your petrol or diesel. I don't know. Do not judge. Feed the hungry, clothe the naked, shelter the homeless, comfort those in stress, be merciful. And there are many more. And these are perhaps best collected in the Sermon on the Mount, which you can find in Matthew's Gospel, chapters 5-7. Our second reading is the last part of the letter of James, who was one of Jesus' brothers and the leader of the church in Jerusalem, a man who was described as having camel-like knees. And this is because he spent so much time in prayer, nearly on the ground. It's regarded as the easiest book in the Bible to understand and the most practical, but it's also controversial. It was denigrated by Martin Luther, as the emphasis is on doing and deeds rather than faith, and there's little mention of Jesus. It should be noted that whilst Paul was writing to mainly Gentiles who were in danger of legalism, James was writing to the dispersed Christian Jews who were living in various countries around the Mediterranean. Many had relocated to other countries for business opportunities, and their danger was adopting the lifestyle and ways of the world in which they lived. James's letter has several key themes: money and how it can affect behaviour, the use of the tongue, the difference between being tested and tempted, wisdom that is available from God. Now, our reading has a range of practical steps. If you're in trouble, pray. If you're happy, sing songs of praise. If you are sick, call the elders to pray over you and anoint you with oil. If you're in the care homes in Sudbury, call Tim. To confess one's sins and to pray for each other, and that is, you know, to confess one's sins to other Christians, it's quite difficult. If someone wanders from the truth, someone should bring him back. Now, James is not advocating passive praying, as he cites the earnest praying of Elijah. In the words of Matthew Henry, it must be fervent, inwrought, well-wrought. It must be a pouring out of the heart. The key message of James's letter is that faith must be practiced. Paul recognized this in his letter to the Ephesians. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, to do good works which God has prepared for us to do. About 20 years ago, a person in the work group I was in, it's quite a large number of people, unfortunately had a driving accident in which he was to blame, or so the police thought. And the end result was it killed him, and at least one other person. The company's response was to send everyone of the staff who drove for work on a day-long driving refresher course. We were in small groups of about 9, and retired police driving instructors spent the morning telling us how to enhance our driving techniques and pointing out common bad habits that drivers slip into. In the afternoon, this is followed by a practical where the lessons we had learned were put into practice and tested. The reality is there's scope for all of us to enhance our knowledge and practice of our Christian faith. We all could go and need a refresher course. I can commend you the book of James. After all, it was written for dispersed Christians living in a non-believing world. God is particularly interested in what we do. He wants us to be salt and light. It's not just what we say. Bible knowledge on its own has limited value unless we do something about it. The questions I leave you with: do we adhere to the precepts, the authoritative orders of Jesus, and how we live our lives? Would we pass both parts of the driving test of Christian life and faith? It is good to note faith and action support and fulfill each other. I just close with a prayer. Lord, help me and each one of us to be the person you long for us to be. Amen.